It's the NFFL Podcast, postseason edition. It really doesn't mean anything different. It's just classier. But that means there's possibly more alcohol in my drink. Who knows? Oh, and I'm wearing a Santa hat. Yes, it's the NFFL Podcast, the semifinal edition. This week, I'm joined once again by Scotty. And coming on the mic is Ty. Welcome, guys. And welcome back, Scott. Welcome on board, Ty. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing well. Still alive in the playoffs, so what's not to like?
Indeed.
It's always a good day when that happens. So you guys are going to be facing off. We'll get to your matchup in a little bit. But any friendly smack talk before we get there?
Yeah. I'm so mad that I can't play you in the finals, Scott. That I'm just going to...
Finals.
That's... I don't know.
You have one of the most epic finals ever.
Yeah, you're so bad you couldn't even figure out a way to meet me in the finals. You had to meet me in the semis.
Oh, indeed.
That would have been a lot of fun. I was hoping we could meet in the finals.
I know.
Do you guys have a preferred, you don't have to say them out loud, but do you have a preferred opponent in the finals if you make it past this round?
Ooh.
I haven't really thought about that too much. I'm more worried about
the John.
I think it would be awesome if John could make it to the finals.
I would too.
Cinderella run, but then I'd be worried he would actually go all the way like Jason did a couple of years back. Remember when
2020.
Jason, yeah, 2020.
The only year that Jason could win, 2020.
All right. Well, I got a couple other fun little questions to start off with. Speaking of the playoffs, biggest disappointment for you guys, NFL players that have been bounced out of our playoffs. What's your biggest disappointment of players that are not in our playoffs?
That we wish were in the playoffs?
Yeah, just players that have been bounced out just based on the rosters that they're on.
Okay.
Players that you feel sad that they're not in.
Pretty much everyone on Ben's roster.
Ben's roster, yes.
I mean, it's a shame. Like Tyreek isn't playing anymore. He's been so dominant all season. So for him, not
his whole receiver squad.
Actually, I was not prepared for this question. I have to go back and look, but I know there was some. Gridiron Mafia, yeah, who I played.
Mahomes is out of the playoffs.
Mahomes is out, yeah. And Hockenson was a great tight end.
Yeah.
And James Cook, man, that guy almost had the win. He put up that 35 points. Yes. He's been so hot lately that. He's kind of one of those league winners they talk about, but unfortunately.
Not in this league.
Not in this league.
No.
Yeah, AJ Brown, too. AJ Brown being out for our chess team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of talent on the sidelines.
We are definitely one of those leagues that you're not going to hear the league winners that are projected. Any players that you're glad you don't have to face in this round?
Same list of players.
Yeah. Ben's whole roster.
Yes. Ben's whole roster.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about the playoffs. We'll talk about the first round. We'll start with, we'll talk about Ben's matchup. The number one, the dude abides, getting bounced out by number eight, Roster Guard 99. This actually was, of the four matches, three of them actually were pretty close. I just had Siri. Apparently, I asked Siri to do something on my watch. Three of them were actually pretty close matchups, except for yours, Ty. 144-38 to 149-92. That's a 5.5-point margin of victory for Roster Guard 99. I had projected this as a Toilet Bowl Game of the Week. It's not going to stay the Toilet Bowl Game of the Week. I'm going to give that to Ty simply just by the fact that that was the blowout of the four games that were all tightly contested victories. Some studs for me for this one. Eric Kendricks, his 12 total tackles and a sack. Rashad White, 139 total yards and a touchdown. And Danico Autry, his two sacks and four tackles. And some stinkers for me were pretty much anyone else on the field. What do you guys take away from this matchup?
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, both of them were way under projections. I mean, Ben was getting killed with the injuries, of course, with Tyreek out and Keenan Allen out and Pacheco out and Jonathan Taylor out and Christian Watson out. Like, it was
so many.
So bad. Like, that's almost enough for me to want to quit when you do that all year and then it all happens in the playoffs. Like, that's rough stuff. And then to lose to none other than 5-0, who put in a linebacker at the very last minute only because five people contacted him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty rough way to go out of the playoffs.
And still starts Chad Muma, who hasn't scored a point since, what, week six?
But he was projected at 8, so John put him in.
I don't know. How he's still getting projected points, I don't know.
Yeah, I never... heard of him or paid attention to that until, you know, I saw the zeros and I went and looked and I looked up his snap counts. He's getting like two snaps a game for the last several games. He's not even on the field. So he's like a third string linebacker, probably special teams guy or something. So probably, John, if you're listening to this, you might want to pay attention. There's still time.
And my favorite line from Ring, the lube won the game.
Yeah, it wasn't John. He was the vehicle, the vessel.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But yeah, you got Chad Muma, who's actually projected for points against 0. And then you got Ty with Ivan Pace, who's projected at 0 oftentimes, so that gets a bunch of points.
Ivan has been a find for you. I picked him up in another league I'm in for IDP because I looked for him and you'd already snagged him. But
the homerism of the Vikings, you know, I knew about him in preseason. And then once Hicks got hurt, I watched him for 1 week. He went off. I was like, all right, I'm going to do this.
So, okay. Not a bad method.
Yeah. Man, but there's so much you can say about this game. Like, I think this needs to be like catechized or memorialized as a moment in Nellis history, because I would argue that the roster assembled by the Dude Abides is the strongest roster top to bottom ever seen in the history of this league.
Mm-hmm.
You the receiving core, he's got like what, Scott, you can do the statistics, but four of the top 10 or 12 receivers and like three of the top six or something like that. Stud after stud running back. Of course, you know, then they have Mark Andrews who got hurt, but you know, outside of the injuries, like I've just never seen this much talent on a roster. And so for all to break down the way it did with injuries at first is just really, really hard and sad, you know. But even with the guys playing, you know, John has to be reminded to put in his players. Finally, you know, does, but no one's given him a chance. And then what happens to the Dude Abides? Just right down the line, everyone underachieved. Well, actually, I take that back. First game of the week was Eric Kendricks putting up 24. It's like, okay, here we go. Yeah. He's roll, right? You know, he's and then everyone else basically was a dog. And I felt bad, you know, like for Dak Prescott puts up 13 points. And if he just puts up a halfway decent game of 20, due to bye wins. You know?
We'll be moving on.
And of course, he's a Cowboys fan, and you got to watch your team get blown out and your quarterback put up that terrible number, and that cost you the whole week. Like, it's just so devastating.
Rough.
That's rough on so many fronts.
But there were some curious roster decisions going on both sides here, too. Was there an injury thing with Mostert? Like, I didn't know why John didn't put Mostert in, because that would have really helped him. And he's got like 20 touchdowns on the season or something, doesn't he? Like an insane amount.
Yeah. He was questionable, but not enough to start him over Antonio Gibson, for goodness sakes.
And then
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But then Kenneth Walker, too, was on the bench. If Ben had just put in Kenneth Walker over Keaton Mitchell, who you'd think, you know, the second running back on the Ravens, like that would have won the week for him too. So there was some questionable roster decisions that took place. I don't want to just say it was total dumb luck that John won. There was some, but man, it's just hard to see a squad with that much talent lose the way he did. So I think it needs to be like memorialized somehow, this moment. For the biggest upset in history, is what I'm calling it. In a playoffs type game atmosphere, I think it's the biggest upset.
Mm. I have a feeling Ben's so upset he's not even going to listen to this podcast.
Oh, he might. He might. If for no other reason to get
talk about that at the end, you know, a little bit. But I do feel bad. Like, I'm not trying to rub this in. Like, if I was him, it would hurt. I've had losses where I was heavily favored, but not like this. So
this was big. I mean, this was massive, seismic even. But we'll give the MVP for that one to Rashad White. We'll move on to number two, Barabunda's Nightmare, getting bounced out by number seven, Sweatman's Runners, 156-38 to 171-66. 15.28 point margin of victory for Sweatman's Runners. I haven't heard from Danny since I picked him to win, by the way, Scott.
No, I know. He was hating that we picked him to win.
I think he rage quit the league, too. He was just too angry to hit send on the email.
Some studs from this one. Montez Sweat, 2.5 sacks, 7 total tackles, and a forced fumble. I heard a statistic on Sunday that he is actually the sack leader for the Bears and for the Commanders still.
Oh my gosh, the Bears were that bad in sacks?
Yes, and he conceivably could finish the season being the only player in NFL history to lead two teams in one season in sacks.
Wow.
Julian Love, 2 picks on the day, both game changers. And Deontay Johnson, 4 for 62, a touchdown and a tackle. Some stinkers. Josh Allen, 7 whole completions for 94 total yards and a touchdown. He did get 24 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, but 7 completions and 94 yards. Yeah. Jahan Dotson, 1 reception for 12 yards. And Bobby Okereke, I forget which one's the right one, only 3 total tackles.
Yeah.
For a guy that's been all over the place, that's just such a disappointment. What's your guys' thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'll take it personally since it was my matchup. But like I love my defense. My defense showed up. That's been my weak point all year, and they scored about 70 points, and that's all I needed. Jalen Hurts was Jalen Hurts. Didn't have his best game, but still enough in fantasy, and made up for having to start Zach Charbonnet and then Jahan Dotson at the last moment because Nico was out. And defense made up for it. Defense wins championships, so I'm hoping that keeps going.
The old adage rings true.
Yep. That and the Allen Diggs stack not working was obviously what made it for me.
Oh, yes. You were definitely a beneficiary of that massive game for James Cook.
Yep.
And I think this was one of those matchups that it wasn't as close as it looks, which I don't know if you can say that in fantasy, but you know how they say that in NFL games. It was a lot. It wasn't as close as the scoreboard indicates, because heading into the Monday night game, I mean, Split Mizrones just had such a huge lead. And then Jordan Love had those two picks and 26 points, you know, kind of makes it a respectable finish for Bear Boone's nightmare. But he was getting blown out all weekend, and his offense just really didn't show up at all. And yeah, Scott was pretty consistent. You know, not Montez Sweat was, of course, amazing. But other than that, it was just a lot of solid performances pretty much up and down the board. And that's, you know, all you need.
Yeah, Ty and I were texting on Sunday about how good our teams were looking.
Yeah. You never trust those projections, but they got off to big leads pretty quick.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we'll give Montez Sweat the MVP for this one. Up next, number three, Awful Waffles, taking Gridiron Mafia at number six out to the woodshed for the whoop-ass victory of the week. 250.64 to 193.30, 57.34 point margin of victory for Awful Waffles. Some of the studs, and yes, this will be our toilet bowl game of the week just because it was such a big blowout. There wasn't much excitement to this one other than for Ty. Studs for your 49ers there. Brock Purdy, 16, 242, and four touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, 187 total yards and three total touchdowns. And James Cook on the other side of the field, 221 total yards and two total touchdowns. Couple of stinkers that stuck out to me. Javonte Williams only had 27 rushing yards, had two receptions for negative 7 yards. And Breece Hall, 12 rushing yards and one reception for 6 yards. And saved his day, question mark, with a tackle. What do you got for you guys? Ty, why don't you go first since your matchup?
I mean, this was just one of those days. Everything comes together. I've had two or three of these games throughout the year, and I love it. You know, it's just so much fun. But the problem is they're not consistent, right? unlike the dude Abides who gets it every week until the playoffs. You know, I just happened to hit this week. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It really was never in huge doubt. But I will say this. We call it Toilet Bowl Game of the Week, but Gridiron Mafia actually – played well above his projection. He had the second highest score of all eight teams. So he would have beaten anyone else this week. So he has nothing to be ashamed of. You know, his guys showed up too. But they just couldn't keep up the 49ers. And man, Christian McCaffrey's just been rolling for me. So even with James Cook's dominant performance, that I kept seeing him score touchdown after touchdown on the highlights. But then I'd look and, oh, Christian McCaffrey's got another one too. And, you know, they're not. Yeah.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, you beat your own projection by 18 points, scored just shy of 200, and you lose. That's a rough go. Because your opponent just scored 60 points better than their projection score, 250. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that loss. I mean,
No.
I worked out my lineup. I would have started. I would have beaten the other six. I would have beaten six of the eight of you in the field if I'd made it in and started my lineup. I would have beaten six of you. I wouldn't have beaten either two of you in this matchup. So there's no shame. There's no shame for Gridiron Mafia in this loss.
I mean, this is the exact opposite of the 1-8 matchup where they were both 20 points under their projection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some teams show up for the playoffs, some don't.
Yeah. It's what is that? 20% luck, 80% skill. I think that's a little bit inverted there. We'll give matchup MVP to Christian McCaffrey for this one. And our game of the week is going to go. Yes, our game of the week is going to go to the E-Town Throwdown Part 3. Which is Jim Kelly Hates Cancer at number 4, taking on E-Town Asian at number 5. 173.48 to 175.38. That is just under 2 points of margin of victory for E-Town Asian. Yes. Some studs. Jalen Waddle, 8 for 142 and a tutty. Jahmyr Gibbs, 108 total yards and 2 total touchdowns. Ty Chandler, 157 total yards and a touchdown. Some of the guys that didn't show up. Taysom Hill, 1 for 4 yards. And a,
he only shows up against me.
1 rushing yards. Yeah. 1 rush yard, 18 return yards. He had the same amount of points he would have gotten if he would just went out and tackled a guy.
Yep.
Bijan Robinson had 11 rushing yards, 1 reception for 3 yards, and lost a fumble and still managed to get negative points.
That's point one.
And Youngway Koo had an extra point. That's it. What do you guys got for this one?
Oh, I love this matchup every time it's the E-Town Throwdown. It's always close. And I got to be, this is my first year in the Telnet, and I got to be the one that played both of them twice this year. And we all went 1-1 against each other. So it was quite a nice, tight little thing there. So it was fun. Yeah, almost couldn't have gotten closer. We talked about the scenarios on Ring about, you know, that 14-yard catch that didn't happen would have exactly tied it. And John, just a little bit more. It's just crazy what could have happened.
Yeah. And did you guys see, I was watching the Jaguars game the day before, and Calvin Ridley caught a ball in the back of the end zone, and they ruled him out of bounds. But on review, his butt was in, like he caught it, and the Gene Steratore, whoever the referee that they call him, is like, this is going to be reversed.
Yeah, he was convinced it was going to be overturned.
And then the refs came and said, oh, the ruling on the field stands, no touchdown. And he's like, well, I just disagree with that. That close call would have been
with New York and everything. Game. Yeah.
Jim Kelly. So that would have been so many little things when you get a matchup this close. This was so much fun. Because it was so close, and I really enjoyed watching Monday Night Football just to see, you know, what's AJ Brown gonna do. I was looking, hey, where's Blake on the field? Is he coming up for run support? Is he gonna? And they kept throwing away from his side of the field too. So,
I'm sitting there on that.
They kept being read Blankenship tackle. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I'm sitting there on that final drive. I'm like, okay, where is AJ lining up? Okay, there he is. There's the throw. Oh, out of bounds.
Oh, it was one of the very few times where I'm normally a to bed early guy, but I wasn't leaving even though it wasn't my team. I was like, I gotta see what happens in this matchup.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I think this game was, you know, what fantasy football is all about, and it is ironic. I think Sweatman probably gets some enjoyment out of Taysom Hill only putting up 1.6 points and Chuck because he hates Taysom Hill so much.
That's right.
So it's a pondering question now for Jim Kelly Hates Cancer. Are you going to trust Taysom Hill next year? Or are you going to get yourself a real tight end who can get at least 6 points a game?
He'll draft him in the late rounds just because.
Yeah,
he'll be a 16th round pick. he'll be that pick the same round that Joe gets his first kicker.
I feel like I need to do what the Niners often do and is pick up like a Ram just to, so they, someone who's good against them, just so they can't play good against them. I'll pick up Taysom next year just so he can't play against me.
Right.
There you go. We'll give the MVP for this one to Jalen Waddle. All right. So let's look at, I have offensive player of the week and defensive player of the week honors for this one. Scott, do you have any statistics for this, or should I just hand this over to Christian McCaffrey and Montez Sweat?
Oh, go ahead and do that.
All right.
I keep stats on the playoff games.
Yeah, we'll just go Christian McCaffrey and Montez Sweat for that, because I don't really know that there's anyone that came close to those guys this week.
And they're both in the same matchup this week.
Yeah. All right. So we got our poopers. And let's see, where is my sound for that? Let's see, where's my brown note? There it is.
The brown note! You McGuire!
All All right, so I'm gonna put a challenge here to you guys. All right, this is gonna be with each one of these poopers, they're gonna bring you your least favorite Christmas gift. So you got to think of bad Christmas presents. The worst things you can imagine them giving you. All right, we'll start with Ty. We're gonna start with Bijan Robinson. His goose.
Actually, it's a negative goose. Yeah, what is that? A gosling.
It's a gosling, yeah.
Ryan Gosling.
Not Ryan Gosling. It's a Barbie.
That's a fruitcake.
Fruitcake, all right. Young Wei Ku, Scott.
Lump of coal.
Lump of coal, all right. Getting the easy ones out of the way first. Zay Flowers, Ty.
Wait, we're doing Christmas gifts we don't like?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a elf on the shelf.
Yes. Richie Grant.
Zima. Pack of Zima.
Taysom Hill. Let's give this one to Scott just because it's Taysom.
A bag of dog turds.
Has anyone ever given you that as a gift?
They have not. I just...
Okay, set on fire. You paid to have. Set on fire on the front step.
Oh, there you go. Dak Prescott's tie.
A Dallas Cowboys jersey.
Ooh. Saquon Barkley.
Pair of old sneakers.
Micah Parsons.
A Penn State jersey.
Go Penn State.
Chad Muma.
A 0-0 soccer game, because that's all he ever scores.
Elijah Moore.
The tubs, you mentioned the tubs of popcorn last week, Scott. The tubs of popcorn that have the cheddar in them. Cheddar, that's the worst one.
Josh, did I just say Elijah Moore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. A Buffalo Bills jersey.
Deron Bland.
Bland dried mashed potatoes from my mother.
Oh, ooh.
Flakes.
Flakes, yeah. Zach Charbonnet.
Chardonnay.
Austin Ankler.
DVDs of random Adam Sandler movies from the mid 2000s.
All right.
Oh, not the 90s. Yeah.
Jahan Dotson.
Jahan. Oh, an Ohio State jersey.
Javonte Williams.
A pony for a little girl that I have to pay for.
Breece Hall.
Breece Hall. A dead squirrel that my cat dragged in.
Ooh. And last one, Travis Kelce.
Tickets to a Taylor Swift concert.
There it is.
All right. These were your poopers of the week.
Not good enough, damn it. Not good enough. Stop.
All right, so we're going to look ahead at next week, where we have only two matchups. Our quarterfinals, we're going to have E-Town Asian and Roster Guard 99, and we're going to have Awful Waffles and Sweatin's Runners. We're going to start with E-Town and Roster Guard.
Whoa.
My document got really long. So, as I said, we're going to start with number 5, E-Town Asian, taking on number 8, Roster Guard 99. Now, when I looked, super early projected outcome, E-Town was projected to take it by 8. This may have changed since I looked, but that's what it was.
It's about 10.
About 10 right now.
All right.
But so that still projects Chad Muma getting 10, so it's probably more like 20.
Yeah, Chad Muma at 9.58. Yeah.
Yeah.
So knock that down to more like 20.
Yeah, let's say 20. All right, so let's start at quarterback. We've got currently slotted in. Asian has Tua, who's been down lately, and Miami's not looking like the dominant force they were earlier this year. But they still do have Dallas at home, and the conditions are right for a bounce back game. Meanwhile, roster guard 99. They're slated to start Lamar, who. San Francisco is number 5 against quarterbacks and number 3 against running backs. So he could be in for a rough outing, but I would expect him to overcome some of this, but probably not at his superstar levels. What do you guys think about quarterbacks for this matchup?
I don't know. They're both pretty good defenses. I think it's pretty even. They could both do really well. I could see them both potentially having bad games, but
yeah, I think I like Lamar slightly better. He's just having a heck of a season.
Yeah, I don't know. You know the 49ers defense better than me, Scotty, but he seems to be able to make some plays on his legs no matter who he's facing. So.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually who the Niners have trouble with is the mobile quarterback. So.
Well, there you go. Edge, roster guard 99. Wide receiver for Asian, Jalen Waddle looks good against Dallas to me, especially if the Cheetah gets back on the field. Arizona surprisingly stingy against the wide receiver when it comes to DJ Moore, but he is their number one offensive threat, so I'd look for a lot of force feeding his way anyway. Justin Jefferson gets a pretty sweet matchup against the Lions as long as Nick Mullins keeps throwing his way. He had, 10 targets last week?
Yes, something like that. He's definitely back in the game plan.
Yeah. And there are rumblings that Zay Flowers picked up an injury last week's game. Could be an Achilles. Could be, I've heard rumors he was in a walking boot around the facility this week. So take it with a grain of salt. For roster guard, Elijah Moore is number 3 in the pecking order. He honestly shouldn't be started, period. But here we are. Cortland Sutton's practically useless without a touchdown. Drake London had 4 targets the last time Taylor Heinicke started, who has been named the starting quarterback by Arthur Smith. There's lots to worry about in their wide receiver core. What do you guys think about wide receiver?
Go ahead, Scott.
Clearly, E-Town. Yeah. It's not even close.
Yeah, no, E-Town, he's had a dominant receiver core all year. As long as they're healthy, he's got some good players over there. So he's got the edge here. I will say that roster guard does have Garrett Wilson on the bench, but what's his face? Their quarterback. They're bringing the other Wilson back in.
Zach,
so I don't know if that's a better play than Elijah Moore.
He's still concussed as of this afternoon, I heard.
Is he the okay?
Yeah, the head injury that wasn't a concussion, but he's in the protocol.
Zach Wilson. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, yes. he's got to just hope and pray that someone pops off in the receiving core.
Yeah, it's funny. DJ Moore, we joked about him earlier in the year about the only reason he was up there in the rankings is because of that one huge game. But he had staying power and had a lot of good games.
Yeah.
So what a surprise for the year.
Not bad.
Yeah, that was. I had him last year, and he was on my do not draft list because he was so frustrating, and he underachieved last year. And I was like, I'm not going to be fooled by his blow up game, And then he's turned out to do really well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's go running back. Eton Asian has Gibbs going up against Minnesota. Looks pretty rough. Minnesota's number 6 against the run, and honestly, who the hell knows with Bijan? Arthur Smith does have a track record since week 6. If you go back and look, it's like a yo-yo. He's got those really pathetic weeks followed by this huge production week. So who knows? He could be in for a big week of production. For roster guard, running back is where their strength is. Dallas was exposed as being very exploitable on the ground, so Mostert should have a big day. Rashad White gets the number five toughest Jacksonville rushing defense, but he's been pretty much matchup proof. And Alvin Kamara versus the pretty much middle of the pack Rams, I'll take that. What do you guys think about that running back?
Oh, I completely agree. I like Rashad White a lot. Yeah, really understated rookie season, but a great season. And Mostert, he's actually put him in the roster this week, so that's good.
I noticed.
I would agree. I think that roster guard has the overall edge in running backs. But you never know. I mean, Gibbs has been hot lately, and Bijan, you do never know. So they could certainly have great weeks. But I think the key for roster guard this is going to be big running back performances this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was paying attention during that Dolphins-Jets game. And with 19 and 20, touchdowns 19 and 20 for Mostert, he officially single-handedly had more touchdowns than the entire Jets offense for the season.
Excellent.
Tight end. Tight end. For Asian, the Texans are the number two toughest against the tight end. So even though David Njoku's a favorite target for Flacco, pretty tough sledding for him. For roster guard 99, Pat Freiermuth, he just popped up this today or yesterday with a knee injury, and he gets Mason Rudolph under center, who we haven't seen throw to him at all this year. So I'd give the edge to Njoku. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's hard with Houston being the number two against the tight end, but I think you got to with Flacco loving Njoku so much. Yeah.
He throws 40 times a game, and Njoku's pretty much his first read. So,
yeah, Njoku's been doing so well last couple weeks. He's been probably the best tight end, I'd imagine, last couple couple weeks. And Freiermuth, I wouldn't have much trust in him. That's a prayer there. So I don't know anyone out there on waivers who'd be better sitting out there, but definitely edge for E-Town.
Yep. And looking at defense for E-Town, Josh Allen and Richie Smith are really the only players on the defense that I would question for them. Everyone else is solid. For roster guard, half of the defense is going to combine for two tackles. Then you have TJ Watt and Danico Autry. And again, Chad Muma has not scored a single point since week 10 and has a combined 20.40 points on the year because he has to be a special teams player at best from what we can figure.
Yeah, I'm looking at his stats now. He had one game with 10 points in week 4. Anything else is 5 or less for 3 games and then all 0. So there must have been an injury in 1 week that he had to come in and play and get 10 points and then went back the next week to his reserve.
Yeah. Been starting him since week 4?
I don't know.
Pretty much. John, I beg of you, drop Chad Muma and find you can throw a stone on the waiver wire and find any linebacker who is more productive than Chad Muma.
Yeah, or any defensive player. He's got Cam Curl on his bench. He doesn't need to be a linebacker. He's got several linebackers.
I dropped Zach, Curl. I moved
TJ Watt into the linebacker position.
I dropped Curl like 6 weeks ago.
Waiver wire. He's got other guys on his roster who at least play, you know. So,
yeah. Well, I'm taking E-Town to take this one.
Oh, hold on. We skipped the kicker.
Kicker. All right, I'll let you take kicker.
I'll take Jake Elliott all day. I think the Eagles are going to roll on the Giants.
Yeah, I concur on that one.
I don't disagree.
Mr. Hyung-Wei and his one extra point.
Yeah. I didn't figure it was worth it mentioning Hyung-Wei. I already talked about him enough.
Oh, I didn't get to go over my analysis of them.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so roster guard, number 8 offense, number 8 defense against E-Town, number 3 offense, number 4 defense. All time, E-Town leads the series 3-1, including this year. They have never met in the playoffs, and E-Town has won their only matchup this year.
All right. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head statistically, but what are the odds of the number 5 or the number 8 winning?
I have this.
At all.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull up the history. I had this up. So, first of all, I'm the number 7 seed, and the number 7 seed is the only seed to have never won a Phyllis. Hoping to change that. All right, so
Ty just smirked. Number...
Yes, I'm in.
The number 5 seed has won the Phyllis 14.29% of the time. The number 8 seed has won it 4.76% of the time.
Wow. What about number 3 seed?
The number 3 seed has the same odds as the number 5 seed at 14.29%.
All right. So
this league by far has the number 2 seed as the best chance of winning.
And the number 2 seed is gone this year.
Me.
All right. So I'm taking E-Town. What do you got? Who are you guys taking?
I'm taking E-Town as well.
I will take E-Town unless Chad Muma is replaced.
Hedging on that Muma.
And then I'll combine that. I'll combine a decent linebacker with the luck that that John has, and then I'll tip his way.
All right. And our other matchup is number 3, Awful Waffles, taking on number 7, Sweatman's Runners. Super early projected outcome. When I looked, Awful Waffles was going to take it by almost 30. Has that changed?
Nope.
Nah,
all right, Scott, give us the breakdown on this one.
Going over that. So Ty ended up the number 2 offense and number 7 defense on the year. I was the number 4 offense, number 10 defense, so they're not looking great for me. All time, Ty leads our series 11-6, including this year in which Ty beat me once this year. And the playoffs were 1-1 against each other. My one win was in the Nellis Championship, and my only Phyllis win where I won my stat correction by a half a point.
All right. So there we go. This year will be the tiebreaker in the postseason. All right. So we'll start. Let's see. I did this one a little bit different. Let's start with Awful Waffles. We're going to start with the Rams, since you like to play a bunch of Rams and a bunch of Niners.
My whole team
is the all NFC West team.
Yeah. It's an all NFC West squad.
Yeah.
Kyren Williams, not entirely matchup proof. And New Orleans has the number 2 run defense. And he was bottled up against Philadelphia earlier this year when Philly had a pretty decent run defense. Cooper Kupp and Puka should both have an easier time against the 18th ranked pass defense. And then we'll turn our eyes towards the 49ers because Brock Purdy's on a tear, but Baltimore is number 6 against opposing quarterbacks. They're only number 15 against running backs. So it wouldn't surprise me to see a little bit of a down game for Christian McCaffrey. A little bit. What do you guys think about the Rams and the 49ers that Ty's going to be starting?
I don't love the matchups.
Excellent.
I love the players. I don't love the matchups. And Puka and Cooper Kupp, like my Rams receivers, I have to start them both because I know one of them is going to do well. I just don't know which one. I like, T. Higgins did really well last week, and some experts are saying, he could be better than Puka this week, but it's like, I don't know if I can trust that because this would be the week Puka goes off for 20 and Cooper Kupp gets 3 catches. So I have to put
he
him
He could be because Jamar is going to be out this week. So
I think that's why
they'll
they're
have Boyd
that.
And T and then any of the 6 tight ends that what's his face likes to throw to.
Browning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's intriguing there. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do, but if I do stick with this, I don't love the matchups I have with the Niners and the Rams, and that is the heart of my offense, my end defense, really. But
yeah, no,
they're pretty good. Oh, I was just saying, but you know, they have been really strongly performing every week in, week out. So I, you know, you just have to trust your studs at some point.
Yeah, I'll just say this is one of those games that I hate having to face Niners players in the playoffs. Them being my team.
That's a no-win situation.
It's like all of them too. I mean, the Niners just clenched the NFC West, but they're still trying to hold on. They got the lead for the number one, and I'm just I really want to see them do it, but what does that mean? Can we have I think what I'd like to see is a big Debo game and a less McCaffrey game. But that also helps Purdy, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Handoffs to Debo.
Yeah, that would help a lot. He does do that.
Yeah.
And then I guess, yeah, handoffs to Debo and Ayuk. I think that would be ideal.
There you go. Bunch of end arounds. Well, let's stick with awful waffles. Amon-Ra against Minnesota, I think he'll eat. Kelce continues to be a huge concern for me. He's tight end 3 on the year, but he's only got 5 touchdowns on the year, which is very, very off for him. Breece Hall, middling day against middling defense, going up against number 20 defense. And, you know, that's all going to come down to their quarterback, which probably won't be Zach. And I love linebacker for you, especially Ivan Pace. Trey's solid, but Buddha's been kind of streaky lately. What do you guys think about the rest of that squad?
Yeah, it's still a good squad. I like Amon-Ra. I traded him to Ty.
And Purdy.
Don't you hate when that comes back to bite you?
Yeah, the defense, like, Ty obviously could have even higher projection over me because of Pace and them only having him at 5. Man. I also tried trading for Ernest Jones at one point from Ty, but couldn't get him. And then I got Lavonte David from Ty for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, which ended up
a lot of ties back and forth.
That was really a win-win because I needed a quarterback.
It was.
And Lavonte David's done so well.
Yeah.
But the earlier trade that should be mentioned here, beginning of the season, right before the draft, Scott traded me Travis Kelce for Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
And that's
been win-win.
Well, yeah. So I thought Kelce was going to be Kelce last year, which would have been a win-win. Yeah. And I'm thankful I have Purdy now, but man, if I had Jalen Hurts, that would that'd be great. So, yeah, I'm not sure about Kelce. I'm seriously considering putting in Laporta. You feel like you can't bench Kelce, but he has not done much the last few weeks, and I don't know. I haven't made up my mind on that one either. And then Breece Hall, that was Ben fleecing me, you know, in my weakest point.
Did you give up for Breece?
Saquon and Ferguson. He needed a tight end.
Oh.
And, you know, so he gave me a really hard time. I was like, well, Yahoo's projecting that you're going to do better by having Saquon and Ferguson for the rest of the year. And Saquon's even going to be better than Breece. And he's like, you can't trust Yahoo, you know, projections. And he was giving me a hard time about it. And I think he made fun of me on the podcast. But, like, since then, Breece had one decent game when he was on my bench. And everything else has been terrible. And Saquon's had at least a few good games. And then Ferguson's had a couple of nice games. So I got fleeced. I was buying the hype that Breece was going to be good. And I should have realized the Jets are terrible. And learned my lesson. Well, don't trade Connor and Ben. Never works out well.
He might be next year with Aaron Rodgers back. So who knows?
Yeah. But, yeah, so I don't know. There's definitely some weaknesses in my lineup. And, we'll talk about Sweatman's runners here, but I do like Sweatman's defense more than mine. He's been pretty solid on defense all year. And his kicker, Aubrey, who I dropped.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
He dropped it.
No wonder you want to talk about kickers so much. I forgot you had Aubrey.
He was a big point last week.
How could I forget that? He outscored everyone else on your squad last week.
22 points in 1 week for my kicker. That's it.
All right. Well, let's move over to Sweatman's Runners and talk about their squad. I'm going to start with running backs because running backs a big concern for me. ETN has the easiest look against that number 11 Tampa Bay defense. And then there's Austin Ankler. And I really look for Buffalo to put the hurt on the Chargers early. And I know they've got an interim coach, but it would not shock me to see him get game scripted out again. And Charbonnet's the wild card. He lost a load of touches, but if Seattle's up, he could get some garbage time touches against this number 24 defense that they're going up against. What do you guys think about running back?
Yeah, I'm hoping the Rams have one of those let's play for the new coach kind of games. I like that if they are down big, at least Ekeler can catch passes, and maybe they start throwing it to him if they're under pressure. I don't know. I'm hoping. I need to see him back in form. I love ETN. Charbonnet, I'm hoping that's just a dart throw because I have nothing else to put in there because I'm not starting Jahan Dotson yet again because he will never perform when I have him in. But I'm going to have to put him in if Nico Collins is out. But he had a limited practice today, so we'll see.
It's Wednesday. If he gets another couple, he should be in.
ETN, I think I think he'll be all right. I think Jacksonville is going to focus on the run again. And Ekeler, my fear when they fired the coach, it was the same thing that Scott's hoping for, is that they usually look, any team fires a coach, the next week they come and blow the other team out because they're all so excited for the new regime or, you know, whatever. And the Raiders, it's been that way with the Raiders. So, that worries me. I think Ekeler could still play. I don't see them game scripting him out. I don't know why, why they would do that, but it'll be fun to see.
Yeah. Well, moving on to wide receiver, a little bit shaky there. CeeDee Lamb, he's away from home, and Dallas is always shaky away from home, but he still probably puts up decent numbers. Who knows if Deontay is going to perform with Rudolph under center? He probably does. I mean, even in Deontay's filling games in the past, Rudolph's filling games in the past, Deontay still had decent amount of looks. If Nico's healthy, he's a stud. That's going to be their offense through the air.
And there's a possibility CJ Stroud's back.
There is a possibility. It's not a great one, but there is the possibility. What do you guys think about wide receiver for Sweatman's Runners?
I like Deontay. He's been outperforming his projection, like with Trubisky. So I like his chances with Mason Rudolph. I mean, Mason's not this year, but he's played a bunch of games for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He knows what they're doing. I mean, he's not under Matt Canada anymore, but that could be a good thing.
Could be.
And I just hope Nico plays.
Yep.
Nico.
I think, Nico playing will be critical. CD, he's been so great. He's been on a tear last half of the season. So I think he'll find a way to put up some points. And, Deontay's been hot. So I think that he's got a chance if Nico plays. And that was another trade that I traded to you, Scott. Was it?
That's right.
That was directly. That was all part.
That was the Amon-Ra trade. Yeah.
In Amon-Ra, yeah. So Nico, but he's done really well when he's been healthy for you too. So we've had some win-win trades. I like to put that up as a model for the rest of the league to watch how two teams can trade fairly with each other, and then they wind up in the semifinals of the playoffs
against each other.
Trade fairly with each other. And so sometimes it just works out.
Well, there you go.
We couldn't trade with Ben and Connor, so we had to trade with each other.
Yeah, they forced our hand.
All right. At quarterback, Jalen Hurts looked mighty mortal last week, but he shouldn't be too sick this week. And the Giants are the second to best matchup for quarterbacks. So I expect big things from Jalen this week. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, mortal yet still scored me 28 points last week. So I like him.
Yeah, he worries me. I think he might put up like 40 or something, you know, against the Giants. They're pretty terrible, and the Eagles need a win, so I look for him to blow up.
Yeah, they should. They need to have a bounce back game because they're not looking great as a team lately, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at tight end, Arizona still loves to pretend that the tight end doesn't exist. So I love Kmet. That should be a strong play. And at defense, it could be a liability outside of Montez Sweat and Antoine Winfield. Maybe Khalil Mack, or it could show up like it did last week. It's a coin flip. What do you guys think about tight end and defense?
I like Cole Kmet. He had a big game last week, though, so you never know with with him, because he often follows it up with a dud after a great week. My defense, ever since I actually started working on it and got Lavonte David, like I said last week, I started out at the bottom of the barrel on defense in the entire league, worked myself up to number 10 by the end of the season. But we've been pretty consistent lately, and it doesn't seem to come from one spot. It's someone else, like, doing it each week. Like, Alex Highsmith, like, he's like the opposite of Jahan Dotson for me. It seems like every time I put him in, he actually does well, so we'll see. I'm putting him in for Deron Bland this time, since Bland did mean nothing, and I like it. I like my D.
All right. Ty?
I definitely like Sweatman's runners' defense a little bit better than my own, and he's very consistent. Luvu, Sweat's been great. Winfield thinks the number one overall defensive back. And Lavonte David, I for some reason thought he was replaceable, you know, at some level. Like, I could almost match his production, and that has not been the case at all. Like, he's just so consistent. So I think my only hope is Khalil Mack having a bad game, but you know, just never know with him. Yeah. But otherwise, he's solid top to bottom, so I give him the edge there.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking off of Waffles, but I'm seeing a closer matchup than Yahoo's projected.
I sure hope so.
Who do you guys got?
I'll take Ty. Picking against myself has worked.
Yeah. I guess I'll humbly pick myself, but I do think it's going to work, and it would not surprise me if I get upset.
All right. Well, before we close out, let's do a little keep, trade, cut. Keep one, trade one, cut one. You got Christmas lights, like, you know, Christmas displays, Christmas lights. Not one you put up, but ones you like to go look at. Christmas music, you know, actual music you enjoy. And Christmas movies you like to watch. Which, by the way, Scott, we watched Jingle All the Way the other night, just last night.
Did you love it?
Oh, yeah. Hope you
love
it.
Always.
Yeah.
Have you watched Jingle All the Way 2 yet?
No.
Larry the Cable Guy, I love it.
If it doesn't have Sinbad, I'm out.
So Christmas lights, Christmas music, Christmas movies.
Oh, I love everything Christmas, so this is ridiculously hard for me.
I try to make them a little difficult there.
Yeah,
it's super hard. But you specify not just all Christmas music, but the actual Christmas music you like.
Yes, the stuff you like.
Because there's a whole bunch I don't that I would be an easy cut. But for me, I guess I would cut the lights, trade the music, and keep the movies.
I don't know. This shouldn't be that hard of a decision. I think I'm going to cut the music. And I really love Christmas music, and I start listening in August.
August.
Wow. Yeah. <that's> early.
I'm gonna trade the movies. People love the movies. I think that's a great trade value. And I'm gonna keep the lights because that is a family favorite. We go out almost every night looking at Christmas lights. So
Nice.
I got pretty much the same order as Ty there. Yeah. Keep the movies.
Can we
trade the music, cut the lights?
Can we rant on Ben before we end this podcast? But Ben, you said I was going 2-2 at best in the last four games. Didn't have a chance at winning a playoff game. I went 3-1. I beat the number 2 seed, Danny. I'm going up against Ty, who you also don't like. So take that and shove it up here. You know what?
I love it.
That was definitely a rant.
Call me dreamy-eyed and don't actually have a chance. Give me a break. I knew what I had.
I love it. I think he'll appreciate and respect that. yes. I love it. All right. So I went 2-2 on my picks last week, 36-22 on the season. You can pick up your NFFL swag on Redbubble at bit.ly/NellisNFFL. No buys this week because they're all done. Thursday night football this week, New Orleans at the Rams. Saturday night football this week, Pittsburgh again is hosting Cincinnati. Two Saturday night games in a row. We got Rudolph for Christmas.
Rudolph on Saturday.
And Buffalo at the Chargers. At least we're not on the NFL Network this time. All those broadcasters are horrible. And as Hans Gruber says, there's only four more sleeps till Christmas.
That's right.
Only four more stories to fall. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. The podcast is just not the same without you. And everyone else who's listening, We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your games, get your wins, and if not, you'll be listening on the couch with us.
Good luck this week, Scott.
Good luck.
The NFFL Podcast is a production of Head First Studios. Head First Studios. Tell your story.